All kinds of political campaigns are gathering personal information about you, but how well are they protecting it? From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Molly Wood. If the Facebook and Cambridge Analytica scandal taught us anything, it's that data and cybersecurity are increasingly important to political campaigns. But we're not just talking about data being used in big presidential or even Senate races. Local campaigns, like for state and city offices, collect lots of data too. They don't want it stolen, and voters certainly don't want their information getting hacked either. Marketplace's Kimberly Adams has been looking into data security for smaller political campaigns. I asked her what kinds of information these campaigns have.
So you have your voter registration list, which have things like people's names, addresses, phone numbers, whether or not they're registered to vote. If you've got a little money, maybe you can buy consumer data that says maybe what your shopping habits are or what magazine subscriptions you might have. And all of those things, campaigns will pull it together to create a profile of a voter that they want to target.
And then what do they do? And do you mean target with advertising? I mean, they're essentially doing the same thing as any ad network.
The vast majority of campaigns are not big. I mean, you're talking two, maybe three staff members, a couple of volunteers. So these people are really focused on who in their district is going to be turnable. And then they maybe just want to go knock on their door. And they're not going to be armed with a huge psychoanalytic profile of who that person is. They're going to say, oh, this person is a registered independent. And so maybe they'll consider a Republican this time.
And so what makes this a cybersecurity concern? Is it the fact that these campaigns are, like you said, they're very small, they don't have a lot of money, but they do have a bunch of data?
They do have a bunch of data, but they're aggregating it in one place. So there's actually a benefit to these campaigns being pretty small, because if you only have three or four people on your campaign, that's only a few people who can increase your risk for a hack. That said, you do have people who maybe aren't trained very well in cybersecurity. And if you're a smaller campaign and you get like a phishing email that subjects you to ransomware, well, you may have to blow your campaign budget on a Bitcoin buyout to make sure that voters don't see their information leaking from you, or so that you can get access to your campaign information again.
And is it something you think that these campaigns are aware of and that they're taking seriously?
It really depends on the campaign. You know, some of these smaller campaigns that I've been talking to, they're just not thinking about it that much. They don't think that they're at risk, or they're outsourcing it to vendors. And they're relying on the vendors to have their cybersecurity really up to top notch so that they don't have to worry about it. And there's also this sort of burgeoning group of companies that are focused just on providing cybersecurity for smaller campaigns. And you'll go to their website and say, hey, have you been hacked? Call us at this number right now.
Wow. You know, somehow I cannot help but think that this is going to be passed to the voter in some way, probably in the form of more fundraising, right? Like, doesn't it just add to the cost of campaigning that you have to now consider cybersecurity?
It's funny. I've been asking that exact question of different people as I've been out reporting on this topic. You know, yes, you may have to pay a little bit extra on cybersecurity, but on the other hand, the accessibility of this data and the fact that social media ads and online ads are so much cheaper than television or radio ads, the ability of campaigns to use this data to target voters actually makes the process more egalitarian. Because of this data, people who might not otherwise have a chance to get a voter's attention, now they can reach you.
That's Marketplace's Kimberly Adams in Washington. Cambridge Analytica update: the whistleblower who revealed how much data the firm had harvested from Facebook spoke to House Democrats in Washington this week about how Cambridge Analytica was trying to use personal information to influence voters. I'm Molly Wood, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM. As a nonprofit news organization, we are on a mission to increase economic intelligence across the country. And the way we do it is through reliable, objective reporting that you know you can trust. And now we're counting on your support so we can do more to help people understand the business behind the technology that's rewiring our lives. The more people who contribute, the more we can accomplish together. And right now, your donation will go twice as far thanks to a dollar-for-dollar match from Candida. Time is running out on that challenge, so become a Marketplace investor today in whatever amount works for you at marketplace.org.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.